Amen. Let the church say amen. Amen. Here at Ebenezer, it's not just worship. All that we do don't happen inside of these four walls. It is going out. And so we're grateful for the leadership of the mission teams to minister to others outside of these four walls. We've had an exciting day today. Amen. We was able to have the Church History Scholar Bowl this morning and learn some interesting facts. And since I've been studying church history, I was able to help out. I've been practicing saying sesquicentennial. So if anybody needed a hand, I was going to step in. I was ready. And so we've had a wonderful time, not only this Sunday, but this month we've been preaching a series of sermons called Case Files. Literally, they are mysteries of the church, and on behalf of Ebenezer, I solved them all. The first Sunday, we dealt with the dreaded disease called foot slipping. We identified what it is, what is the characteristic, what is the cause, and what is the cure. And on first Sunday, we wrote the prescription of involvement. You want to get over that case of foot slipping when you know that God is good, but you're just not feeling it. You got to get involved. When you know that God is good to Israel, but your feet are slipping, you have to get involved. So we dealt with foot slipping on first Sunday. On second Sunday, we dealt with a case of nothing. We tried to wrestle with the question, what can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus? And no matter where we looked, we found nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Then on a third Sunday, we presented another case, a case of bored to death. We wanted to unravel the mystery of how long a preacher can go before he catch a case of bored to death. But we also gave you the permission that if I go too long in an attempt to be deep and profound, that you can go to sleep without catching a case. So I figured I can go somewhere as long as I can stop before noon, don't go till midnight. So we solved that. So we solved that case. And then on last Sunday, we dealt with a case of snakeism. Snakeism, bronze snakes in the scripture are those man-made items that was once a tool used for the lifting of the people's eyes, became a trophy and began to garnish or attract the people's eyes. And once it became a trophy, it had to be destroyed. Once it was a practical solution to a problem, then it became protocol for future generations. It's when we take from the altar the ashes from fires past rather than gaining the flame for the future. And so we showed how those bronze serpents can stand in our way. And so today I come to represent my client by the name of Thomas. Thomas has fallen under a mistaken identification. So this is the case of mistaken identification. And so if you would, I would like to show you two pictures of Thomas I want to submit. The first picture is found in John chapter 11, verse 16. And the second picture is found in John chapter 4, verse 5. John chapter 11, verse 16. By the inspiration of God and by the pen of John, these words are recorded. Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go that we may die with him." A picture of toughness. But John chapter 14, verse 5, found in often read passage of scripture, John chapter 14, verse 5, these words are recorded. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" We read into your hearing John chapter 11, verse 16, and John chapter 14, verse 5. We ask that there be a blessing to the reading and hearing of God's word. Case of mistaken identification. I believe that we have misidentified Thomas. We have classified him as one we need not bother trying to follow. We look to Thomas and we have found reason not to give him the honor that he deserved as an apostle of Jesus the Christ. The reason for this misclassification, mistaken identification of Thomas is because Thomas is known as a doubter. Yes, he's in a moment of thoughtfulness. Thomas has been labeled down through the ages and been called Doubting Thomas. In fact, if you Google Doubting Thomas right now, it'll tell you it means somebody that is a skeptic, someone who requires proof before they believe. Literally, they are somebody from the show me state. They're the people that have to see it for themselves in order to believe. Thomas in the Gospel of John, Thomas wasn't there after the resurrection of Jesus, and Jesus entered the room of the other 10. The 10 was together locked in a room by themselves, and the scripture tells us that Jesus just showed up. He didn't knock on the door. He didn't come through the door. The doors was locked and they were all shut in, and Jesus came in. And when he came in, the 10 disciples was there, and he showed them his hands, showed them his side, and they believed. But Thomas was not there. For some reason Thomas wasn't there. And when he got there, the disciples were telling him what they had seen in the Master. And Thomas said these words that will haunt him, that haunted him all, not the rest of his life, but has been haunting him ever since. Thomas simply said, "I won't believe until I see it for myself. I won't believe until I see the holes in his hand. I won't believe until I see the mark on his side." And from that moment on, from that moment since, Thomas has been classified as Doubting Thomas. But I believe that one moment should not define my client, Thomas. I'm here today to defend Thomas and suggest to you that he is worthy to be a model in your life. In fact, I think we run off too many Thomases. Thomas, those that have too many questions, they're asking too many questions, looking behind the scene. We get frustrated with those types of Thomases. So those individuals that require more and more and more proof. But we have to remember that Thomas was part of Jesus' team, that Jesus picked him. I didn't pick him. Jesus picked him, and Jesus chose him like he chose Peter. Jesus chose him like he chose Paul, and all of us can't be Peters. All of us can't be James. All of us can't be John. Some of us gonna have to be Thomas. All of us can't be chiefs. All of us can't be presidents. All of us can't be chairman and chair lady. Some of us gonna just have to be a member. Some of us gonna just have to be a Thomas. And so I want to show us two other pictures that I believe shows my client in a better light. And perhaps we can better understand his moment of doubt. Well, the first picture is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 11. In this, we are told that Lazarus is dying. He's sick and he's dying. Mary and Martha had sent word to Jesus to come see about Lazarus, and Jesus procrastinated. He didn't just put on his shoes and take off running. He stalled, and for 3 days he stalled, and finally he said, let's go. Let's go to Bethany to see about Lazarus. But the other disciples were afraid. They said, you know, they're out there to take your life. If you set foot in Bethany, there are men that have made vows to kill you. There are men that have said, if Jesus come back, we will surely take his life. The other disciples say, well, if Lazarus sleep, he's doing all right then. We don't have to go visit him if he sleep, right? We can stay put. But not Thomas, not my client. Now, my client stood up in the midst of all of them, and he declared on that day, let us also go up. Let us also go with him, that we may die with him. Listen, Thomas was a tough guy. Thomas was a meat and potato kind of guy. Thomas liked his food in three different sections. He liked meat and vegetable, and he liked his bread. He don't want his stuff in no casserole. He don't need his stuff mixed up and blended in. Don't need a whole bunch of flavor. He just needs solid food. Thomas was a tough guy. And I think because of our misidentification of Thomas, the church has lost some of its toughness. You know, sometimes we act like shrinking violets. Every time we see some trouble, every time some trouble come our way, we act like we can't handle it. Every time a storm blow in, we act like we're falling apart. But Thomas had the spirit of toughness. Listen. I don't understand. Thomas said, I don't understand everything, but I do understand him. And if he go, let us all go. Let us go with him. If he die, let us die. I remember a story. I like a story. It's a sibling story. Brother and sister, the little brother was dying. A doctor said he needed a blood transfusion. A blood transfusion could save his life. They tested the mother. She came back negative. They tested the father. Came back negative. They tested the big sister. She was a match. And they said to the big sister, you are going to save your baby brother's life. And so she said, great, wonderful, I'm ready to go. And they laid them both on the table and began the blood transfusion. And the doctor said, you're doing good, you're doing well. Look, the color in your brother's face is returning. And she looked over at him and she said, you know, he still needs some lotion on them hands, but yeah. I guess you say it's working, you know. And so she turned around and they both sat there and took deep breaths. And the doctor said, you're doing great. You're doing wonderful. You just saved your brother's life. He should be fine from this point on. And the little girl looked at the doctor and said, great, that's wonderful. But when do I start dying? He said, why do you think you're going to die? She said, well, if I give my brother all my blood, what blood am I going to have? He said, no, baby, no, that ain't how it's happening. Your blood is fine. We just circulated your blood through your brother and cleans his blood. No, y'all both shall be fine. But then both the parents and the doctor begin to think about it. That little girl was willing to die for her brother. She didn't have all the medical evidence. She didn't have all the medical information. She didn't know the report. She didn't know the folder, but she knew her brother. And she was willing to die. Not John, not Peter, not Andrew, but it was Thomas that expressed a willingness to die. I think that's a better picture. I think that's a picture of toughness better than the picture of doubt. Well, if that doesn't suit your fancy, let's look at another picture of my client Thomas found in the Gospel of John chapter 14. You'll be familiar with this. This one in the upper room. Jesus had said to the disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And he said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. And where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know what you're talking about, man. We don't know where you going, and we don't know the way. Thomas was a picture of transparency. Thomas didn't know and didn't mind letting Jesus know that he didn't know. And so many of us, we fake it and we'll make up an answer if we don't know. We'll tell you what we think. You know, the greatest thing about having an education, you can tell people you don't know and they accept it. I tell people all the time, that's not my field of study. I don't know. And people accept you not knowing. They tend to want to educate me on everything there is to know about air conditioning at that point. But they do accept my answer. I do not know. Thomas was willing to be transparent in a time when so many of us are playing it close to the vest. It's hard to let people know who we are. We think people are taking advantage of us. If we don't know everything, we think people will trick us. They will do something to us if we let them know we don't know. But Thomas was a picture of transparency. Isn't that what we need today in the world? We need a lot more transparency. We live in an age now where everybody loves come with angles. I mean, you feel like somebody got you. They're coming to get you. Every time you're in a one-on-one conversation with somebody, it feels like you're about to get the short end of the stick. I don't know how this is going to work out, but I feel like I'm being tricked. But we live in an age of transparency. Put all our cards on the table. Let people know that you don't know. I don't know what the future holds, but I do know who holds the future? And who holds the future is the same one who holds the present and held the past. So it seems to me if we get to know him, we'll be all right in the future. It's okay not to know what tomorrow holds. But Thomas, because Thomas didn't know and because he expressed that he didn't know, Jesus gives one of the most powerful passages in response. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Hold on.
No one comes to the Father except through me. Thomas says, I don't know. And Jesus didn't rebuke him. Jesus didn't say, get out of here because you don't understand. No, Jesus answered his prayer. Brothers and sisters, what a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. What a privilege we have. We may not get all the answers, but we can carry it to him. We can take it to the Lord in prayer. So we have a picture of toughness, willing to die. We have a picture of transparency, willing to be vulnerable and show that he didn't know. But I want to go back to that earlier passage in John chapter 20 following the resurrection. I believe that Thomas wasn't there with the other disciples because he didn't believe the reason that they were there. He wasn't in agreement with why they was locked up. Because he disagreed with their reasoning, he wasn't there. So why was they locked up? You don't have to look up into the cloud to try to figure it out. It's in the scripture. It says that they were locked behind doors because they were afraid for their lives. The other 10 were scared. They say they took Jesus. They surely gonna come get us. I seen folk do that. I remember in 9/11. You remember 9/11? When the planes and all that terrorists was happening, people were thinking that Austin was gonna be next because George Bush was the former governor of Texas, so they thought they was after him. I was like, really? You think they after George? That's they think it. But because they was after them, they felt their own lives. The disciples thought that because they got Jesus, surely they're going to come get him. And Thomas was like, I'm not afraid. I'm not scared. I'm not going to sit behind these doors with y'all. I'm not going to stay here. I am not afraid to die with him. But then the second reason I think that he wasn't there and he did not believe the report, but it's because the apostles... How can I put it? The apostles wasn't a senior to Thomas. They were not an authority for Thomas. They were one of Thomas' peers. They were on the same plane. And they didn't have no Holy Spirit either when they witnessed to Thomas. And brothers and sisters, I wouldn't believe nobody either if they didn't have the Holy Spirit. You really can't tell me anything about Jesus without the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit to intervene between us. If you're going to testify to me about Jesus, I need the Spirit to agree. They was witnessing without the Holy Spirit. That's why Thomas did not believe. But because Thomas asked, Jesus gives the lost beatitude. Jesus said to Thomas, he says, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. But then he said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And I don't know about you, I'm in that number. I'm in that number of those who have not seen. I have not seen his hands. I have not seen his side. I have not seen the holes in his feet. But oh, I believe. I believe because I heard the report. I believe because when I called on him, he showed up in my life. I believe because when I needed him, he was there. When I looked down at my feet was new. When I looked at my hands were new. When I looked at my life, he gave me a whole new life. I believe. And because of Thomas, we have a blessing when we believe. When we don't believe, when we believe and have not seen, Jesus said, blessed are those. And so I believe, brothers and sisters, that we have mistakenly identified my brother Thomas. He is a worthy model. He is a worthy apostle for us to emulate. But not just for Thomas. Maybe, just maybe, we have misclassified some other folk. Maybe, just maybe. The one story that we heard about him, we placed them in a whole category. We classified them. We identified them all because of one story that we heard. And so perhaps we can learn from the case of mistaken identification that that can be a mistake, that you may lose a Thomas in the process. May God bless you and may God keep you this morning. At this time, we're going to open up the doors of the church that maybe as the deacons and the ushers and the, as they come, we invite you to come. You can come as you are from where you are. Don't worry, we'll continue to seek them. Bless you, bless you. Bless you, bless you. Come on, come on. It was ours to extend. It was yours to accept or reject. May God bless you this morning. Amen. Amen.
Good morning, Ebenezer. We have coming to join on Christian Experience, Amon Crenshaw.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Amen. Brother Crenshaw, you come. Amen. We would like for you to express with your own mouth that your own desire, your desire to unite with Ebenezer.
Yes, sir.
Amen. 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 Bless you. Bless you, brother. Amen. That's all right. It's okay. It's going to be all right. You ain't got to come up here and be with me next week, man. Amen. We're grateful to you, and we're going to definitely work with you, let you know everything about us, and try to get to know you better. Is that okay? Amen. Amen. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. We're going to have Brother West. Brother West, if you come here, Minister West. Amen. I want him to feel another strong man around him. Amen. Amen.